This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is brought to you by the Vodoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and TickSplits.com. TickSplits.com, no service fees. The price you see is the price you pay.
This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Trubisky's not a loser. And me coming over to Trubisky, here's what I'm going to tell the people. To say, oh, it's about time you came over. And I knew it all along. You're all morons who love Cutler. A guy that dresses up like Mike Ditka before a game, that's probably what turned to me that he understands the tradition of the Bears. If Jay Cutler would have been everything this guy is, he would have probably gone to the playoffs 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And I fully expect Trubisky to keep getting better because he gives a damn. And I think that's 90% of the band. Don't you like when I just shut people down and I make a reasonable argument? That's what debate's all about. That's what it's all about. I hate that song. The hokey pokey sucks. Let's just go on. Put your left foot in. I don't like nobody telling me what to do when I'm dancing. You put your left foot in. I'm going. Nagy understands the division. Wants that. Trestman. Fox. They wouldn't understand Bear tradition if it hit them in the ass. So Matt Nagy has instilled that into the players. And I love it. This Trubisky kid with Nagy is the right marriage, and I'm going to give Ryan Pace and everybody from Ted Phillips on down a little pat on the back.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike Swingman. Just 3 NFL games left for the 2018 football season, and we'll talk about the two being played this Sunday, the NFC and AFC Conference Championship games. We'll get Mike's take on those two games. Hey, how about Matt Nagy winning Coach of the Year honors? We'll talk about that and the snub on Ryan Pace for Executive of the Year. And have you seen this Adam Gase taco video? It's giving NFL fans mucho gusto, but may not be muy bueno for Gase. We're going to talk about that. We've got to also touch on those Chicago Bulls, who have now lost 9 in a row, and we'll do all that and more with my friend Mike North. How are you?
It's always good to talk to my guy, Aldo Gandia. We're going to have some fun today. We're getting into the stretch run. Well, we're past the stretch run into the quarter, the last quarter poll, going to the finish line with the NFL, Aldo. But another show, another notch in our belt. We got other things we're going to be announcing in the next few days or maybe today. I don't know. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couples retreat. The Sharks are circling. I don't know if the announcement. It's going to be today, tomorrow, but we got some plenty of good stuff coming up. We want everybody to understand that, because even though the Bears are out of it, we got about 100 topics to fit into about an hour show.
We sure do.
What an open. What an open.
That was good. Did you rehearse that?
My God. I didn't even, the teleprompter stuck, but I kept going.
Mike, I wanted to start the show by asking you, as we head into conference championship weekend, what did you think about the 2018 football season? Because I know that you started the season by saying that you were kind of turned off by the NFL in 2017, but you thought maybe they had kind of bounced back. What are your overall thoughts?
They did bounce back, Aldo. They did bounce back. They did a tremendous reversal. The anthem stuff went away. They seemed to get that together behind closed doors. They didn't make a proclamation. I think the teams took more control of their personnel. You didn't see 5 players sitting, 10 players standing, 3 players kneeling, 7 players saluting. You know what I mean? So it was all uniform. I thought that was big. I thought there wasn't as much outcry. The Kaepernick stuff will be around for 10 years. He'll be 60. They'll be going, why doesn't somebody give Kaepernick a chance? Well, because he's suing the National Football League. That's not usually a good thing for an employee to do if he wants to stay employed. And he's 2 years removed. But there are people that will continue to do that. But you know what? For the most part, I think it was the overall play. I do think replays got to be addressed. It's become too cumbersome. I think the officiating's got to be addressed. It's been horrible this year. But as far as play on the field, I thought it went pretty well, and a lot of the main quarterbacks stayed healthy for the most part, which is a good thing, because there's been other years where you lose almost half of them and you're forced to watch a lot of second stringers.
What about the rule changes? Did that bother you much, as we're seeing the game, the contact in the game being lessened by rule changes and so forth? And we had a lot of controversy early in the season with the Clay Matthews being whistled and penalized for, you know, hitting with the helmet and so forth. How badly do you think that is for the NFL? Do you think that the problem was lessened as the season went on?
It got lessened after 2-3 weeks because everybody was seeing quarterbacks get sacked, and then all of a sudden you had to stretch out your arms like you were an airplane after you sacked them so you wouldn't land on them hard. They got rid of that. You didn't see another call like that, I think, for the last 12 weeks.
Yeah.
There was still roughing the passer if you're going low on his knees, if you're hitting them late. Sometimes, you know, the refs overindulge in that. I think the refereeing now is the worst it's ever been because they're afraid to make a call with replay and be overturned. They look at each other. It's just a joke. You got 8 guys on the field. It's just unbelievable. But to me, I thought that once they got rid of that rule, then things got better.
You know, I'm totally with you on the NFL
official. I don't even stutter, and it's like, 804. That's unusual.
How many cups of coffee so far?
4, Eldo. You know me. I got to be on top of my game with you. You know what? You're cleaner than the Board of Health. I can't mess with you. You might ask me a question I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I don't send Mike an outline. I start to tell Mike, we're going to talk about this. He goes, stop right there. I don't want to know anything. We'll just
wait. I don't want to know nothing. It's just like, you know, we got some other, like, we're going to be coming out with a few press releases down the line, which I'm really excited with you and other things. And I talked to some people, and the one thing they like is that they like this show because either one of us is going to know something outside of the realm, and we just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. Radio is scripted now.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Biggs on. And then we're going to have all the... No. You script or you tell a guest when he's going to come on, but basically, if you go in with an outline beforehand, sure, if you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business.
There you go. I love it.
Old school, baby.
I love it.
Old school.
One more question on the NFL, and then we'll move on to the Matt Nagy coaching honors that he won. You know, the refereeing is what really bugs me. And from time to time, I will send out a tweet on our Twitter handle, at Bears Barroom, telling people that this referee for this particular game, he's a principal, this guy's an investment banker, and so forth, to point out that these guys, 95% of them, have jobs outside of the NFL officiating. Do you agree with me that the NFL should hire full-time coaches? They should work 10 months out of the year, and when they're not games, they're simulating games, they're going through the rule book and blah, 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 so that they can become better at what they do?
No, because I watch the NBA refs, and they're hired.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have jobs besides that one, and they suck. So,
that's true.
You know, I think it's a once-a-week thing. I think for the most part it's worked, but you're going to have bad years. I think this year was a bad year for officials. I think also because they're forced to, like we talked about, to encounter rules that are impossible to judge. I mean, the targeting rule and all this other stuff, who lowered their head. You can't make a split decision like that.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes there's bad calls because of the rules that are implemented. I think the rules should be lessened a little bit.
Yes.
Tweak a couple other rules like you tweak that one rule, and you'll see better officiating. But, man, you have officials worrying about roughing the passer when they're sacking a quarterback legitimately and they're throwing a flag because it might have been a little bit too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. That was a ridiculous rule, and grown-ass men actually thought that up and tried to implement it.
Yeah. Do you think that technology can help the officiating get better? So for instance, I always complain that the NFL should provide their own cameras at the goal line, on the goal post, on the first down marker, strategically placed, and not rely on the broadcast network's cameras, because they're doing things for creative reasons. Their cameras are not placed necessarily to help with the officiating. That should be the responsibility of the NFL, the multi-billion-dollar organization.
Well, what's amazing is that, the NFL will clamp down on people that try to take their property or unknowingly do something that will bother them, okay?
That's right.
They don't want any other partners as far as, putting their product out. We can do it ourselves, and if you try to take it, shame on you. Yet, they'll take the TV feed. Mm-hmm. It's okay. When it's convenient for
great
them,
point.
You can take our product because there's billions of dollars involved.
Oh,
but
my
if
gosh.
If somebody's got a website, or if somebody's got a TV show, mm-hmm. or if somebody's got a radio show,
mm-hmm.
or really a TV show, and they show like a play in the Bengal Ram game that's NFL film-like, they'll be all over you like a cheap suit if you're viable,
yep.
if you make a lot of noise, if you indeed point out things, okay? I understand them not wanting to use your product, but then, it's hypocritical for them to use other people's products unless you have a billion-dollar deal, or like they do with CBS, Fox, and those other places.
Oh, you're making such a good point.
Well, what's amazing is there's people that will pay a lawyer $250 an hour for what I just told everybody on our wonderful Mike North Advantage show. And I couldn't get past my second year in high school. It only makes sense.
Mike is a professor. He also doles out legal advice.
Also
doles out, of course, award-winning, money-making betting tips. And Mike, pretty soon he'll be offering...
my lawyer site, legallyblind.com.
I love it.
That's right. I'm here for you. But if it looks like we're going to lose, run.
All right. The Professional Football Writers of America named Matt Nagy the NFL Coach of the Year. He led the Bears, of course, to a 12-4 record, the NFC North Championship. Of course, he deserved it. Nobody else deserved it more. And the same argument could be made for Ryan Pace for Executive of the Year, but instead it was the Indianapolis Colts general manager, Chris Ballard, who won. I want to get your overall thoughts on this, and I've got some talking points that I borrowed from Eric Lambert over at NFLMocks.com. Before the award was announced, he made the argument for Pace, and he made the argument for Ballard. But first, before I read off some of these... just give me your overall thoughts. Do you think it was that Pace should have won it over Ballard?
I think Nagy stole his thunder.
Interesting.
Nagy was the poster boy of the Bears. Even though Ryan Pace did a good job, and maybe sometimes it's the way you network, maybe you don't know, you don't talk to a lot. I think Ryan Pace is a good guy. I think they had a great press conference the other day where basically... They told the press anything and everything, which was really good for him and for Nagy. Of course, it's always easier to stand up and take questions when you're 12-4. Not so forthcoming when, like last year's press conferences or what have you. But I still think he's got some stains. I mean, Cody Parkey was well publicized,
mm-hmm.
and the reason they lost is because of Cody Parkey as one of the main people, and that's a Pace signing. People look at that. But Ballard, if they don't have Andrew Luck, if he gets injured again this year, they don't even make the playoffs. I'm telling everybody that's how good Andrew Luck was up until the final game where he sucked.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think is Nagy coached draft picks that Pace put together,
mm-hmm.
and he got them farther, faster. And I think Pace will get Executive of the Year if they can repeat this next year.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's what I think is going to happen. I think Nagy stole his thunder.
Well, here's what Eric Lambert said, and you've touched on a lot of his points. So Ballard, Lambert says the argument for Ballard is that he drafted two All-Pros in Quentin Nelson and Darius Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
He also
Very good point.
Yeah. He also drafted Braden Smith. He signed Denicio Autry. He hired Frank Reich as his head coach. He signed the tight end Eric Ebron, and they won a playoff game. The argument against Ballard is, as you said, that he was aided by the return return of Andrew Luck, which Ballard had no responsibility in acquiring. He only hired Frank Reich, the coach, because Josh McDaniels, if you remember, backed out of the job after he had agreed to it. And then Lambert goes on to say the case for Pace is that he drafted Roquan Smith, James Daniels, Anthony Miller. He signed the wide receiver Allen Robinson, another wide receiver in I didn't write it down, but another, he made some good free agent signings. He traded
the rookie from Memphis.
Anthony Miller hired Matt Nagy, and then of course the big argument against Ryan Pace, which you mentioned, it was the Cody Parkey signing. So
that was a big stain on his shirt that I can't get out.
Oh my goodness! And just not bringing in any competition during the season because you invested so much money that it was the decision for him to stay on as kicker was based purely on dollars and cents, right?
Yeah, well, you know what? I think they really thought he could do it. And I think another thing that hurt him is their unknowingness. I don't know when they vote on this, but Ryan Pace looked like, you know what, they didn't give Cody Parkey permission, which they don't have to do, I guess, or he doesn't need. Mm-hmm. But even doing that looked a little bit like unorganizational-like. You know what I mean? Like
Yes. One
hand doesn't know what's washing the other. Because I got a feeling that had his agent, Parkey's agent, gone to Nagy and Pace first, then next year wouldn't be as big an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But he went off Maverick on his own without Pace and Nagy really knowing about it, went on that TV show, and I think the odds are stacked against him for coming back now because, like I had said before this even happened, you'll hear from the four players that liked what he did. There's another 48 that are saying, what the hell are you doing, man?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you showboating? Mm-hmm. Period.
You know,
but I think Pace delivered. I think Pace, I'm not going to argue against him getting it.
Yeah.
I think what the Bears did this year is fantastic. Look, they gave it to Ballard. I don't agree with it. I was just, and if they don't have Andrew Luck, I just said, they ain't winning it. Period. And Chris Ballard, nobody knows who he is.
Yeah.
If they don't have Andrew Luck this year. And he didn't draft him.
That's very, very true. Very, very true.
Right?
And I love your point about, you know, Pace potentially winning it next year. So here are the things that Pace has to do, right, in order to win Executive of the Year in the Bears to get to the Super Bowl. They've, of course, first and foremost, have to fix this special team kicker situation, correct?
Boom.
All right. And then
you like when I went boom like it's a kickoff? Go ahead.
I love it. Bah, 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 boom.
Sharper than a dull number three pencil. Okay,
they've got to sign some of the free agents that are on their team, like Bryce Callahan, do something about the right tackle position, either bring Bobby Macy back or find somebody to replace him. And then the third major free agent, who is it?
It doesn't matter. They got to do some little cosmetic changes.
Yes.
Keep some of their own personnel in there. If some guys leave, you know what? You got to live with it. That's the price of getting better. Guys being on national TV, coming up with turnovers and other owners and general managers seeing that. That's the price of fame.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to everybody, man. And I think with the Bears, it's even going to happen a little earlier. But what's great is the Bears had a lot of rookie contracts.
Yep.
And they've already re-signed a lot of guys that can't go anywhere.
Right. I agree with that. Now, do you think that the Bears, if they need to make a big free agent acquisition, would they be willing to free up some salary cap space by dropping either one of these two players, linebacker Danny Trevathan or offensive guard Kyle Long?
Offensive guard Kyle Long would be the guy I'd get rid of.
Really?
I don't know, for some reason. And I like Kyle Long, but, you know, he was injured this year.
Yeah, he's been injured
lately. What?
He's been injured a lot lately, yeah.
I told you earlier you took offense because I thought you were his brother the way you were defending him. I understand why you like him, and I understand why Bear fans like him. He's an offensive guard.
Mm-hmm.
You can replace an offensive guard, especially one that is hurt most of the year, and then when he comes back, we lose. I told everybody it wasn't going to be Kyle Long that was going to be the difference maker whether the Bears went on or not. What did I tell everybody? Eddie Jackson. That's what I told everybody. And how did we get burned? In the middle of the field, did we not?
Yeah.
In the game,
yeah.
Period.
The defensive backfield let us down, and then Jackson's...
People are worried more about Kyle Long than a guy like Eddie Jackson, who's like Ed Reed, who, by the way, will be coaching the Bears, I understand, who's my favorite safety, and one of, in my opinion, was as great defensively on that Raven team as Ray Lewis, period.
That's right. I totally agree with that. And for those of you who have not heard, Ed Reed is rumored to be a secondary coach.
Oh, he didn't sign yet, huh?
He has not signed. He is the defensive coordinator for Chuck Pagano in this All-Star game that's happening this Saturday. It's the collegiate NFLPA Bowl. And so people are speculating that because they've known each other, they worked together with the Ravens and so forth, and that he's probably going to take over for Ed Donatell, the secondaries coach, or just be the safeties coach. So we will see. But, yeah, Ed Reed would be a great addition to
Donatell,
the Chicago
Bears. Is he on his way out somewhere? Is he leaving?
Well, there's rumors that he might go with Vic Fangio over to Denver. So will you
then go?
Yeah, right.
Because you know what I think is going to happen is Reed's going to come in. And I think you talk about Pagano and Reed. I'm more excited about the coordinator and stuff. I know what Fangio did, but there were games this year where, you know, the defense would play good for three quarters. And I'm not picking on Vic. We don't get there without Vic Fangio. But in the fourth quarter, if he was to look at every quarter, when they had more heat put on him was the fourth quarter. They couldn't put, you know, the final straw down, you know what I mean, in a couple of games. And there were a couple close calls that we won that we were lucky to win because of fourth quarter comebacks or the way that offenses were performing in the fourth quarter. It seemed to be, let's be a little more careful. And we want, I think Pagano will be a little bit more aggressive.
Right. All right. I want to talk about this.
Right. How you doing, officer? Right. Here's your ticket. Now be careful driving. Right.
You think I got to work on my transitions?
Can I just say one thing to everybody?
Uh-oh. Here it comes.
And you know what? I love Aldo. We've had so much fun so far doing the show. We're going to be doing a little bit more of expanding things. It's just what a pleasure, because he gets it. I get it. He doesn't take it bad when I say, you're right. Or, you know, I mean, he doesn't. He knows. I'm just messing. It's fun.
We have a blast. We have a blast when we're recording and when we're not recording. All right. So.
Don't we? Right.
You think I got to work on my transitions a little bit?
I love your transitions. No, right. They're perfect. It's one of our best bits. Don't ever change.
I have
to. You know what my favorite one is?
Which one?
Over the last 20-some weeks, my favorite one of all time. You ready?
Uh-huh.
So, Aldo, I think this is what we got to do. I think the Bears got to do this, and I think the Bears got to do that, you know? Yep. Yep. Like I'm asking you where the corral is. Is it down that way? Yep. Like it's a Clint Eastwood movie. I love you.
Yep.
So I think Nagy's going to get it. But let me give everybody a comparison.
Okay.
Because Aldo tries to call me during the week, and I don't take his calls, quite frankly, because he's always begging me to give an analogy.
That's right. I need one of your
analogies. please give an analogy. And my analogy is that if you're going to, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And Nagy is the carnival barker.
Mm-hmm.
Pace is like Colonel Tom Parker. He's in the background selling, you know, posters and magazines of Elvis. he knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's going to end up getting it. Because next year, if he repeats this, I think they doubt the Bears can do this again.
I agree.
I think there's people saying, well, they're going to have a tougher schedule next year, and it's not going to be a last-place schedule. And you know what? Trubisky may not be the same, and there could be injuries, which is all true. But then it could go the other way. And I think it's going the other way, because most of these players are young, fast, and in the prime of their health.
Yeah. I am totally with you. I think because the Chicago Bears have failed so often lately in prime time and the national spotlight, which is when all of these media people see the Bears. They don't watch all 16 games. They don't know the Bears like you and I do and the rest of the barflies and the people at the Bears barroom. They don't know the Bears so intimately. So they watch a national contest and the Bears fail, and then they go, oh, same old Bears.
Here, I'll give you an example. He's Nagy's Peter Fonda, an easy rider. And basically, yeah. Because Peter Fonda was the big star then. Mm-hmm. The star in waiting. If he wins again this year, he'll be the executive. He's Jack Nicholson, the guy that was the third or fourth guy on the cast and stole the show. That will be him next year.
Yeah.
Somebody's going, cute. What the hell is Easy Rider? There's some 25-year-old going, what the hell is Easy Rider? Ashley, is that a wagon?
I'm sure Ashley, who is listening and she's in the chat room, she's probably Googling Easy Rider.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what's great. You just Google stuff now, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
And it's so easy. I mean, back in the day when you did talk, when you were a talk show host, you didn't have computers. You had media guides, but I never used anything. You had to know. To get a job then, you had to know. Now everybody's a genius.
That's right.
Everybody.
I had to run to my World Book Encyclopedia set to just look stuff up. But nowadays, you just have Google with you, and it takes care of everything.
We used to wait for the damn media guides to come in.
Yes.
They'd come in from the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Braves. I remember we had a bookcase filled with media guides from at the score, every team. From every league. There was no computers.
That's right.
So it was interesting, but I never used them. I just figured, you know what, if you think that topic's going to come up today, you better check beforehand or you got to know.
Mike, how much time do you spend in front of a computer nowadays?
A lot.
Really?
Because I'm always promoting the site, or I'm always promoting us, or I'm always coming up and... I mean, listen, you know what happened to me? I didn't even realize this. Mm-hmm. I'm on Twitter this morning, getting ready. I see that the Mike Norris show's on. Boom, I retweet that. I see, you know, this, I retweet that, or I come up with my own tweet. So then I say to myself, I haven't heard a peep from Geraldo Rivera lately. And I like Geraldo.
Yeah.
I don't agree with him all the time, but I like him.
Mm-hmm.
He blocked me. I got blocked by Geraldo Rivera.
Whoa!
Yeah. Because he always says he's Trump's friend, and then he's always bashing him, and then he said he voted for he didn't vote for Trump, even though he's Trump's friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because his fifth wife told him not to. So I said something, I'm blocked. I didn't say nothing bad. I just said, you're actually letting your wife, because I know this, I don't know who my wife voted for, and she don't know who I voted for. We have a feeling. Just like, I don't know, I'm sure there's couples like that, but let me just say this. Any man or woman who votes because how their spouse tells them to vote,
yeah,
weak stock of the 100th degree, period. Once you get in the damn booth, you know what I mean? It's you with the booth.
That's right.
You could say you did it, but he came out and told it. And then the next thing I know, I'm from a guy who thought there was money in a vault on the south side in the abandoned building.
People in the chat room love this story.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When he opened that vault, did you honestly, I know I was sitting at home going, there's nothing in there. There won't be anything in there. Somebody would have already gone into that vault.
Yes.
It was one of the great hoaxes of all time. But God bless him. He turned it into something good.
Oh my gosh, you got like 40 million people to watch. Nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless him.
If I remember,
here's another thing. He's half Jewish.
That's right.
Jerry.
That's right.
Jerry
Rivers.
His name is Jerry. His name is Gerald. He added the O on. Are you kidding me? Yeah. My God.
He used to go by the name of Jerry Rivers, and then all of a sudden it became hip to be Hispanic, and he went to Geraldo Rivera. So, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Come back, Jerry. Please come back.
All right. You know what is hip nowadays? It is this Adam Gase taco video that's playing all over the internet. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it. Have you seen it?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's wild.
Well, first of all, I heard they had the press conference.
Yeah.
Another one. Nobody brought it up to him.
Right. Right? Nobody.
How do you do that?
But one person did, and it was Greg Lebatard from ESPN. I'm going to play this, but just for our listeners, just for those who don't know, what happened is during the introductory press conference for Adam Gase, he comes in and he walks, and his eyes are just wide open, and he's looking around and so forth. And so somebody, I don't know who it was, but they did a brilliant job of superimposing a taco, a cartoon taco, and his eyes are following this taco as it's floating around and so forth. It's just hilarious. Well, Greg Lebatard had Adam Gase on. Remember Adam Gase? He was the offensive coordinator of the Bears, was hired by the Miami Dolphins, had a 23-25 record with the Dolphins, and then for some reason the Jets thought he's an offensive genius. And so this is what Lebatard and Adam Gase talked about.
Did you know that it became a meme and people were putting tacos around your face so that
I don't have Twitter, Instagram. I don't read the internet. I don't watch TV. Like, I don't, all that stuff doesn't, it's irrelevant to me. To me, it's pollution of the brain. I really don't care. Like, that's how I operate. I'm here to do one thing, and that's to help this organization win. So all that other stuff is irrelevant to me.
I feel like you're a guy who laughs, though, and I think you should watch the taco video because I think you might think it's funny. Can I, like, send it to you?
No, I don't want it. I don't want it.
Okay. I mean, it's not a pollution of the brain. It's just a little bit of litter. It's like, it's just a little bit of litter.
Don't need it.
Don't need it. Okay. Fair enough. Adam,
I'll give you a Jay Cutler on that one. Don't care.
I love that. He says, I'll give you a Jay Cutler on it. Don't care. And that's exactly what Jay would say on something like that. Mike, I got to ask you this.
That's just great, but you're a New York coach.
Yes.
I mean, you're in Miami.
Uh-huh.
And you're having issues.
Yep.
And you're unaware of what is going on. I think to be great at anything, you have to be aware of everything. Now, you can get rid of some things. There's the people that say, you know what, some guy screwed me or this guy screwed me or that person, and they're out of my life forever. They're the ones that wake up in the morning and think of the person first. And then they go in front of TV and go, I don't watch this. I don't watch that. That guy, if that's how unaware he is, I'm fearful for them. You got to at least have a joke about it. You got to at least laugh about it. You got to at least be aware about it, because that was not a good look. And you know what? What I meant was, he didn't get a lot in other press conferences from the New York press. Dan Lebatard was in Miami with Stugatz, and it's a good show. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad Lebatard brought it up. But for him to stonewall after that look, and if you look at the other guys up there that are up there with Adam Gase, the guy on the right is like moving his chair away from him while he's doing it. I mean, my God, take a look at it. He's actually looking at him like, wow, this is the guy that Dirty Harry was after at Kezar Stadium in San Francisco. My God. Don't pretend it didn't happen, right, Aldo?
That is so true. That is,
I mean,
so
really,
true.
If he would have come out with a clown nose, okay, I mean, are you going to ask him about it eventually, or are you going to ignore it? Why are you wearing a clown nose? And then to bring up Jay Cutler.
I know.
You know, I got a story. I heard a story about Jay Cutler, which just goes into play. Okay. You're quoting Jay Cutler? That's the second mistake you made, okay? You had him for a while, just couldn't get it done. But I heard a story that Jay Cutler, and just believe me, I believe it.
Okay.
Jay Cutler was in a bar, went into the bathroom, and this has happened to me. You're in the urinal, taking a leak. Guy walks in. Hey, man. I'm a big fan, as he's taking a leak near him or next to him.
That's bad.
And Cutler looked up and yelled, I don't care. He's a tool. Guy's a nice guy, wants to take a piss next year. Just say hi.
Well, Mike, but that's happened to you, right? When you've, you know, been...
Yeah, but I'm nice for the most part. But it is weird when they come up next to you. And you know you're being followed. And you know what's funny is, if you walk into a restaurant, like I'll walk into a restaurant there on the north side, and BB will be like 4 feet behind me. Mm-hmm. So all they see is me walking through. So I walk through, and then, oh, that's Mike North. Oh, there's a gun. You know what I mean? BB hears it, not me.
Uh-huh.
You know? And like I told you, I had a guy come in and sit. I was at Gale Street Inn, and a guy just came up to us. I didn't know who he was, and sat next to my wife and said, Mike, I'm a big fan. I go, whoa.
You told me this story, so you got like barbecue sauce on your hands.
Got barbecue sauce on my hands. He wants to shake hands with me. You know what I mean? And he sits there. Are you BB? No. It's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
But Adam Gase, to quote Jay Cutler, now I want him to lose every game.
Yeah, right. Well, here's the thing. You know, you already hit on it. You go to New York, you got to know what your media persona is to deal with the New York media, because they will eviscerate. I'm not even sure I know what that word means, but I think they will eviscerate Adam Gase if he doesn't play along with some of this media stuff, right?
Well, I met, I heard today, though, one of the main members of the Lucky Sperm Club, a future president, Mike Golic Jr., say that Sam Darnold is the face of the Jets. Not after what happened the other day. Adam Gase, I think, is more of the face of the Jets now than Sam Darnold, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, Sam Darnold's the quarterback of the team who just did okay. They say he's got tremendous upside. I saw some games where he did. But Gase became the face of the franchise the other day. Believe me when I tell you this, because nobody even knew what he looked like, because he always wears a cap.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that Adam Gase really has to worry about.
Am I showing too much energy, you think? Or should I slow it down a little bit?
No, keep it right there.
All right.
Adam Gase has to worry that when he's addressing his team, if he hears snickering, it's going to be because the players are imagining tacos around him as he's talking to them. That's a problem. That's a big problem.
You listen, I'm not going to get into this again, but I don't want to get involved with the sombrero again thing. I've been involved with the sombrero in the past, but that's what basically it would be. They should sell New York Jets sombreros, the green and white ones. I mean, that should be their signature headgear this year. You know, the Packers got the cheese head.
Yes.
The green and white sombrero.
I could see them selling like a $20 or maybe a $50 taco at the Jet Stadium and call it the Gase taco or something like that.
Listen, that guy looked like, look it, I've seen pictures, stills of him. He looks like a top 10. He looks like Ted Bundy's understudy, okay? Period.
That was a serial killer look that he had.
Yeah, go Wikipedia Ted Bundy if you're still alive.
New movie coming out about Ted Bundy. I think, I forgot who.
Can't wait, a family entertainment picture, no doubt.
That's right. Disney Pictures is really.
Disney, yeah, Disney, the Ted Bundy story. Ouch.
All right, it is time for everybody is always waiting for this segment. I love the fact that we hold off about 30 minutes before doing it. Actually, we're at the 40-minute mark. We're going to talk about Mike's picks, and we always begin with this piece of music.
All right.
Mike, tell us how you did last
night. Fridoliak, baby.
Oh, yes.
Fridoliak Law Group. You know, when was the last time you heard of an insurance company going bankrupt? Yeah, well, can't think of one, right? When was the last time someone you know went bankrupt? Yeah. You know what? That's why you need somebody like the Fridoliak Law Group. Look, it's all up on the website. Go to the Fridoliak Law Group website. Check them out there. You know what? There's numbers you can call. I mean, you know, from Pete Fridoliak, of course, my good friend Ed Fridoliak, 844-485-4529. 844-485-4529. They've been tremendous for us. 844-4-VLG-LAW. You just call them if you think you have a gripe against your insurance company. They will take care of it, and they will get it done for you. They've been around for 50 years. They got offices in Nashville and Chicago. And also, although we have Tick Splits, who's been great for us, I was commiserating with them the other day. They're very happy with our association.
They are. Our buddy over there is very happy with what we're doing. And remember, if you need to get a ticket to Tick Splits, to any sporting event, any music event, any theater event, go over to TixBlitz.com, TixBlitz.com. And I believe they still have this $50 off promo. So if you want to get $50 off of your next ticket purchase, here's what you do. Send an email to marketing@TixBlitz.com, and on the subject line, make sure you put barroom. You can put Bears Barroom, barroom, whatever, and he will send you a special promo code that will give you $50 off on your next ticket purchase. TixBlitz.com.
All right, here we go, Eldo. And by the way, folks, last week, Mark Potash, great week, Mark, 4-0. Makes his record 131-122-11. Mike Status Quo started off 2-0 on Saturday, 0-2 on Sunday, 2-2, 133-120-11. I am 13 games above 500. Mark, even with the 4-0 week, is 9. It's just I've had a fantastic year. And then Sylvie, 2-2, coming on strong of late. I was 1-0 again with my perfect pick, with my top play last week, which I believe was the Rams. You know what? We're going to start off with the Saints, -3 versus the L.A. Rams. Look, Drew Brees in a dome against a team that last year lost its first game. They look good, but the New Orleans Saints, I think people love Drew Brees. I think that the betting public loves Drew Brees. It is terrifying to bet against Drew Brees. There's quarterbacks in the league that I've been betting with and betting against for years. And, you know, the terrifying ones were guys like Marino, Montana. You look at a guy like Goff, you don't think that he can burn you. But the kid is as good as anybody. There's not going to be any weather problems. You know, everybody forgets.
That's key.
Even though Drew Brees is a dome player, once you play in the dome, it's equal.
Yep.
So in other words, he played in L.A., so I don't think it's going to matter all that much. You had 2 100-yard rushers last week with the Rams. I just think the Saints have the pressure on them. You got a guy that is in line to win an MVP. Nobody seems to be taking the Rams seriously. I'm going to take the L.A. Rams and the 3 points, Aldo.
Wow. Now, I got to tell you. Maybe,
I like when you go, wow.
Yeah, that's better.
For this one, you like the Saints. I can tell.
Mark Potash.
Don't take them.
Mark Potash likes the Saints, and it's his best bet, so that's going to be interesting. Now, you were 1-0.
Only strengthens my case.
Now, you were 1-0.
Which is wrong, by the way, which is wrong in a lot of ways, because he's 14-5 with his top plays. So I'm just kidding. But,
and both of
you know what?
And both
he won last week. He's on fire with that. Mm-hmm. He's got the Saints. Sylvie's got the Saints. I'm a man alone in the corner with the Rams.
Well, and both of you were 1-0 last week with your best bets, as was Mark
right.
Silverman over at ESPN 1000. So your best.
Oh, I know who I had last week. I had the Eagles.
You had the Eagles, right. So
I won two of my last top plays. I was the only guy that had the Eagles. Believe me, I couldn't find anybody that had the Eagles. You know,
that's right.
All right, so I got the Rams. I got the Rams plus of the 3 in the first.
Hey, let me ask you a question before you go on to your next pick. So the game,
yes.
The game started at 3.5, and then there was a lot of betting, and Vegas moved the line to 3. So what does that mean when Vegas is moving the line like that? And does that matter to, you know, novice bettors like myself when I'm thinking about laying a bet and I see that the line has moved one way or another? Anything that I should be on the lookout for?
Not really. If the line moves down, you know what? That's fine. Maybe they're correcting it. It's just like the stock market when they say they're making a correction.
Gotcha.
Maybe they made the line too over extravagant. Maybe, you know, knocking it down. Now, sometimes the betting public will force you to bring the line down. Let's say 9 out of every 10 are betting the Rams getting 3.5.
Right.
Well, then Vegas will make it an even game to 3 should it land on a field goal. They're not going to lose by the half a hook, okay? But other times, they'll be getting, like, Saints money, okay? Let's say they're getting Saints money, and they'll drop the line to make you think they're getting Rams money.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Gotcha, okay.
So now you're going, oh, hey, you see this? The Rams went down a half a point. Must be betting on the Rams. Let's take the Saints. No. Houses like to do that. They like to give you the perception of that, when in fact, they're begging you to keep betting the Saints because they happen to like the Rams themselves. So I'm going to take the Rams. Did I explain that?
Yes.
Pretty good, you think?
Yes, and Harp 4803 agrees with that. Thank you, Harp. All right, let's go on to the primetime game, which is the Chiefs -3 versus the Patriots, and this is your best bet of the week.
Okay, I learned a valuable lesson. I took the Chargers last week with Phillip Rivers, who was good for me the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I should have known. You're at Foxborough. Oh, you know they're touting you for MVP. The weight of the world's on your shoulders, and you crapped the bet. And he did, and so did the whole team. Yes. But I'm not going to blame him for that. I'm going to blame San Diego's team. They didn't help him, and their coach Anthony Lynn did not once change it up.
Yes.
Played zone defense against Tom Brady.
Unbelievable.
Which is like charging an army with muskets while they have AK-47s. I cannot believe that this guy just said, we're doing the right thing. Before you knew it, they had 28 points up. Well, that's not going to be the way it's going to be now. But everybody seems to be in the Kansas City bandwagon, if you will, maybe. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't take these games. I didn't want to take San Diego last week. And I call him San Diego because I'm going to call him San Diego for the rest of my life. That's it. I don't give a damn. They were San Diego. If I can't conquer that problem, I'm going to move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I really think the Patriots have heard it all. They've heard about Mahomes all week. I think they're laying in wait. And I'm sorry, I just can't take Tom Brady getting 3 points and ignore it. I can't. So I'm going to take the Patriots as my top play.
I'm not going to comment because I've been a jinx all season long.
No, go ahead. Come on, man. You haven't been a jinx. We won the thing. Let me tell you something. You and I did the first successful gambling show in the history of this city and in Chicago and everything else, and we came out ahead. So it doesn't matter because you're not a jinx. You've won. You've told me to be careful of some games like the Bears, and I ignored you. So go ahead.
Well, I appreciate the credit, but all I did was listen and go, yeah. Yeah.
So you agree.
I agree, right? That you have
well, let me tell you, I don't think together. You know what you're talking about. How's that, pal? Look, I'm nuts if I bet against Tom Brady.
Exactly.
I did it last week, and I got bent over. Enough.
Exactly. I'm with you there, Mike. As much as I dislike the Patriots organization, you have to take the 3 points and the Patriots. That just makes so much sense. Now, Mark Potash disagrees with you. He's got the Chiefs. You've got the Patriots as your best bet, as does Mark Silverman. It's going to be fascinating to watch who wins this out because it looks like the Sun-Times is going to include your playoff, your postseason one-loss record on their column.
Well, he can't. Here, I already figured it out. I was up all night with the lantern. I had a lantern. I was like a pioneer's man. I was up all night trying to figure out if Mark could catch me. But after this week, it's the Super Bowl.
That's
so
right.
I think he can't catch me because I'm 13 above on the overall picks. He's 9. So that's not going to happen. Now, in the bottom picks, he's 39-29-2. That's a 10-point. He's 10 above 500. I'm 14.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I can sense you want to, you're like Don King or somebody, you're trying to build this up, you know? It's sort of like when Hulk Hogan met Andre the Giant for the first time, at WrestleMania or whenever it was, when basically they had wrestled about 50 times, if you saw Andre the Giant's documentary, in regional matches all over the country. But that was all forgotten about. I thought Mark would have been better if Mark would have done what I thought he should do, is make the playoffs separate. He'd be winning. by a game.
He would be. He would be.
Yeah.
And just for the record, let me zoom in on my thing here, because I want to give out the records again. This is for those of you who do not pick up the Sun-Times. You really should. Their sports section is great, and this column is called The Cheat Sheet. It's written by Mark Potash.
Next year, by the way, Mark Potash, and this was a screw-up, next year, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to say North to North on it. It's going to say Bears Barroom, but not .com, because there was a mix-up. They thought we wanted to put the website up there. I really just want to put Bears Barroom up there. So next year, that will be changed, because we were in conjunction with them, and maybe we'll have it where we get Mark on every so often to pay him back the favor.
Oh, that would be great. And Mark is a great guy. I tell you, I listen to all of these Chicago Bears press conferences, and he asks the best questions. He really does. Him and Adam Hoge, both of them are excellent at what they do. So I just wanted to repeat the records. The season record, Mark is 131-122 with 11 ties. Mike North is 133, two games above, and 120 and 11. So there's a two-game disparity. So this thing is coming down to the end.
No, there isn't. You quit trying to do that. No. Once again, read the amount of games he's above 500.
He's, okay. I see what you're saying. Yes.
He can't catch me.
That's correct.
But believe me when I tell you this. You're not up for the job for my publicist after this little fiasco. No, it's good then, because this is the argument, not that this is the discussion we had. The ties help so much. That's why Frank Reich, who went for the win this year earlier, cost his team by not going and kicking the extra point in overtime and going for the tie. And all I heard was, he had guts. They're not going anywhere. It ended up costing them at the end.
How true is that? How true is that? All right, now, I want to switch gears a little bit here, because the Chicago Bulls are becoming the laughingstock of the National Basketball Association.
Can I just cut in on you real quick, like I've never done this before? Do you want to discuss one minor more thing?
Yes, please.
Can we discuss one more thing that I don't think we... I don't know if we discuss... Kareem Hunt. Did we discuss him?
No, I don't. We only touched on it a little bit on Monday's show, but please go ahead and share your thoughts.
All I'm going to say is, for the people out there that think the Bears should not sign Kareem Hunt if he pays his penalty and everything else, and you want to see Green Bay or Minnesota or somebody else sign this guy, he's got Nagy history. There's no doubt you're taking a chance. But let's please not pretend that in Bear history, Tank Johnson's bodyguard didn't get shot dead in the nightclub. Sam Hurd was running a drug ring out of downtown Chicago, who was on the Bears. Let's not pretend that these guys are scholars. I'm telling you now, we signed Ray McDonald.
Yep.
Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
So this is one that I think would work. Am I tentative about it? Absolutely. But if you're going to – I mean, look what New England did this year. It blew up in their face, and guess what? They still made it. They signed Josh Gordon, right?
Right.
Is anybody – okay, so he helped them get there, and now they're there. Mm-hmm. Now, if Kareem Hunt does this again, he's finished for good. But if a guy – and I don't know if it's a second chance, because he's had a couple instances, but I think the Bears are really going to take a look at him and sign him maybe.
I think that what they said at that press conference certainly opened the door, and I think that what they were doing was just kind of testing the waters to see what fan reaction would be like. And so far, the majority of Bears fans are saying, go after Kareem Hunt. But that, that small minority is very, very loud, and sometimes you know about us minorities, Mike. We make a lot of noise.
Don't I know it? Don't I know it? I'm Irish. If anybody's a minority, now it's me.
That's so true.
My God, I'm surrounded.
That's so true. Let me see what they're saying in the chat room about Kareem Hunt. Heart4803 says, we are aware of Kareem Hunt's past. The Chiefs dumped him there on the spot after the third incident. Kareem Hunt is a touchstone.
We understand that. That doesn't matter, because he's going to be signed by somebody next year, but he's got to go through the commissioner's exemplars. And let me tell you something. I understand what everybody's saying. It's easy to say the Chiefs did the right thing. What happens if they rush for 59 yards this week and lose? You know what's going to come up?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't the same without Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
They never were. That's what's going to come up. Now, if they win, then Mahomes overcame. It's like an injury.
Right.
It's like an injury. But I will say this to everybody, and I know both players, and this is going to hurt some people's feelings. Kareem Hunt, if he's one, that's a player like Khalil Mack, maybe, that can make a difference on offense because he's better than Jordan Howard.
Mm. Now, Hart 4803 is against the idea. Now, Ben Alexander feels like you do. He says that he thinks we have the locker room to help Kareem as a person. Do you think?
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed. And Andy Reid's had issues in the past. I mean, Andy Reid's kids had problems in their own home.
Right.
You know, but he was unaware because he's such a 24-hour coach. This is what we're talking about here with Adam Gase. Andy Reid's not aware of what's going on around him, but Kareem Hunt, if the NFL sat on this, people, you know what, and he deserves every kind. If he doesn't come back, fine. But if he comes at him, and I think Nagy thinks he can keep him in line, he might get burned on that because even Belichick, as we have found out in the past, can't keep certain guys in line.
Interesting. So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in the zero tolerance rule?
It's only zero tolerance. Look, I always hear this, a person deserves a second chance. And all I see is a lot of people that don't get second chances. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody deserves a second chance. Look, Ray Lewis was involved in a murder.
Yep.
And the Baltimore Ravens handled it, moved on. Everybody knows he was involved. There was a settlement, and they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Believe me when I tell you. And then the guy got to be on national TV, and we're going to talk about Kareem Hunt? Give me a break, man.
Yep.
Just look on your national TV screen, especially with the past regime at some of these networks. There's all sorts of lawbreakers on TV.
Right.
I mean, so let's not pretend that you know, everybody's above it all. Like Mark Pottier said, well, Chicago Bear fans have such high moral ground. That won't matter if the Packers or Minnesota picks them up.
Yeah.
And we lose maybe the division by one game, period.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Now, if he's not talented, we're not talking about it.
Oh, my gosh, you're so right about that. That's for sure.
Look at Ray Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Look, do you remember this? Now I'm going. Now I've got the lather going. Now I got the sweat going. I remember a couple years ago, Adrian Peterson was never going to play again because he beat his kid. He's playing, and he's as good as he ever was for the most part on a team that is glad they picked him up at 33 years of age. You want to go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's upset about Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Look at some of the people, the scumbags, that have been allowed to come back. Okay?
Yep.
All I'm saying.
Hello.
You know, I mean, I understand that Kansas City, if they knew about this, now they're going to drop him because he promised he wouldn't do it again. And we don't know what provoked everything anyway. So all I'm saying is he's going to be back playing. And if you're a Bear fan, you got to think about that. You do.
Here's what I think. I think that the ultimate test is having a face-to-face conversation with Kareem Hunt, asking him the tough questions, seeing what he's done to repair his image, seeing what he's done to control his anger issues, seeing getting opinions from other people about his behavior and so forth, and then you make a decision. I think that for us who are so far removed, it's very, very difficult to make the accurate decision on this.
Well, I think that like I said, he's going to play again. It's not like, look, they gave Ray McDonald another chance.
Yeah.
Well, how about Greg Hardy? Beat the woman, had machine guns all over.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
The couch. I was called. The cops came to his house constantly, and the Dallas Cowboys signed him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kareem Hunt, and I've always said this, if there would have been a video of Greg Hardy,
oh my
he would be in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Instead, okay, he was allowed to, because there's no eyewitness evidence, but there was a police report, and he still got to play. So remember that, folks.
Yeah.
And he blew it. So I understand the risk. But remember some of the scumbags that have been allowed to play. And you know what? Kareem Hunt, to an extent, is the same way. But you know what? You can't let one scumbag play who did worse things and then tell another scumbag. And that's the thing. There's no standards. There's been no logical reason. He'll be suspended, pay his time. But once you get out of paying your time, that's like telling a convict who paid his time, you're never going to work in this country again because you were a convict 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm totally, totally with you. It's a great point that you're making. Even Hart 4803 says, good point, Mike, and he is not a fan of bringing Kareem Hunt back. He also writes, Nagy claims to have a relationship with Hunt, so that's obviously very important. He goes on to say the league still has to make a decision on what kind of suspension he'll have to start the season. And that,
look at Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes.
Look at the trouble he got into.
Oh, my goodness. Awful.
So and he's out there playing and leading for the, and he's never had problems again. But he was, you know why? They said, I don't care, we're gonna find you somebody to marry. He got married quickly after that. So he's still playing. And this guy had issues. Brett Favre, he had issues. Sending pictures of his private parts to cheerleaders. Well publicized.
Yeah.
You know?
To an ESPN reporter.
So, I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is the National Football League where character comes second to talent.
Ashley is not a big fan of bringing him back. She says, so what if he brings cocaine and hookers and ruins good guys? She doesn't like it. She doesn't, she goes on.
Cocaine and hookers? Are you kidding me? They already went through that.
Yeah, that's true. Remember?
Dan Hurd ran a drug ring.
I'm just going to say his name, yep.
Are you kidding me? They've had that problem. This guy's not going to, look, if he does bring it, like, wait. They need him to get cocaine if they want it? Are you kidding me? They're pro athletes. They got to behave themselves, show discipline. I love our Bear team, and I think if he comes, I'm taking a chance here. I think he has a good year and uneventful after he serves his sentence, whatever he's got to serve with the NFL.
All right, I want to ask Ashley if she can quickly type in the chat room. Do you, Ashley, believe in second chances and giving this guy a second chance? We'll see what she comes up with.
Okay.
Any final thoughts on this topic before we get Ashley's answer?
No, I'm ready to move on now because we're rolling right now.
We are rolling.
It's just amazing to me. Randy Moss ran over a policeman. He was in the Super Bowl after that, and he ran over a cop, literally, and meant to do it. And then he's on ESPN TV.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And that's all I'm saying.
All right. So Ashley says that she does believe in second chances. She just has a concern here about having Kareem Hunt around players like Eddie Jackson.
What happens if the girl attacked him first, where there's reports that it was a mutual thing?
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
There's report that, see, we don't know the whole story, but behind closed doors, okay,
mm-hmm.
he didn't want to get his ass beat.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing. But that's not, that could be gossip too.
Yeah.
Nobody knows the full story because there's not video of that. There's just video of him acting the fool. No doubt about it.
Ashley says that she was a tramp, and so we'll leave it at that.
Oh, my God. We love you, Ashley.
Absolutely. One of our biggest barflies. She's always on and supporting the barroom.
Good for
her. We love
her.
But
she knows she's going to get the truth as I see it. You don't have to agree with me.
Absolutely.
You don't have to agree with me.
I go
back to the days when Marvin Bad News Barnes was in college, and he beat his teammate with a crowbar.
Yeah. Right.
And then later on, he's in the NBA. Are you serious?
Well,
come on.
The other thing is, look at the players who are in the NFL Hall of Fame and in other sports Hall of Fame. Some of those guys have done some stuff that is truly
despicable. Taylor is in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He played most of his games, probably coked up, probably.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to say probably. Take a lie detector test. He could sue me if I'm wrong. And then he was with underage girls and everything else. And he got to keep playing because he was Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. But
that's just the way it is, man. If you're great at what you do for the most part,
yeah,
okay, then you're going to get leash. You're going to get leash that other guys won't get. Ray Rice was never seen again because he's a 3.5 yard carry. Check Kareem Hunt's stats out this year before. But I'm telling you, if Kansas City wins, that's fine. They overcame it. But if they lose and they run for under 100 yards against New England, what are we going to hear?
Hey, Mike, before I get to this last topic, a question, and it sort of relates to what we're talking about now. Do you think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame?
I had him on my show many times, but then, and I had him on my TV show on CBS many, you know, one time. He lied to me every time.
Yep.
He said he didn't do it.
Right.
He said he didn't do it. He said he didn't do it. And now that gambling's becoming prevalent in 2018 and the MLB is involved with it, I think he should be in. But what he did by lying, I think if he would have been come up straight and said, I just bet on my team. But there's people that think he bet against his team. And I'm going, I can't believe that. But if you're down $30,000 to a bookmaker,
yeah,
and you're supposed to have Mario Soto on the mound, okay?
Right.
Who's your best pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
And it's 2-1 Reds in the fifth or sixth, and you decide to pull him. That's the problem.
Right.
Did you want to lose the game? You know what I mean?
Yep.
I've always wondered, I can't believe he bet on the Reds every game. Because I can't believe anything he says anymore. And now he's signing autographs in front of Field of Dreams. I would love to see him get into Hall of Fame, but I think a lot of this he did to himself.
I think that he, you know, what he did as a player is one of
greatest the greatest player I've ever seen.
Exactly. You know, if he's not the greatest player you or our followers here have ever seen, then he definitely has to be on your top 10
list.
But
the reason I say he's the greatest player I ever saw,
mm-hmm,
was not because of his hitting. Even though he had 4,000 trillion hits, he told me that when you're done, if there's one thing, if you lose your legs, that's when you're finished. He always had a strong base. Always had gave 100%. Never seen a better player. Never saw nobody hustle every time. I mean, it's a joke. They're talking about Machado, and they're talking about Harper. These guys have been pulled from games in the past year because they didn't hustle. They've had confrontations. When Max Scherzer wants to beat your ass in the dugout, and you're Bryce Harper,
yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, a lot of this stuff now, I mean, Pete Rose deserved $1 trillion. And here's the reason he was so great. He was a great fielder at five positions. That's hard to find.
Yes.
He played third. He played left. He played right. He played second. He played first. But his greatest achievement to me was going to the Phillies and winning a World Series there. They were an okay team, but here comes Pete Rose. Boom, you win. The guy was a bona fide winner. Should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame. That's more criminal than Pete Rose not being. That's the most criminal thing. Really criminal. That guy's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that is funny. I got
to
tell you.
So you know what? I'm riding the fence on this.
Yeah,
I want him in, but I can understand after lying for 20 years what people aren't going to let him in. But if you're going to start letting steroid users in, then I'm in.
Well, how about if they put him in and on the plaque it says was banished from baseball because of his gambling within the as manager or whatever the words are, but on the plaque it says that he was banished from baseball. I think that would be a good compromise.
I have no problem with that. Just like if they put in eventually, which these millennial reporters are going to do, they're going to put in a guy like Barry Bonds. They better put in he was a star during the steroid era.
Yep.
I mean, you gotta put something in for these guys. Okay. I mean, it's a shame that Shoeless Joe Jackson's not in. He was banished for life. That's why I can't see Pete Rose getting in. This gambling thing's been sticking in their craw. The problem is they're involved with gambling now, so it's sort of hypocritical. But you know, when you bet on your own team or against your team and you're a manager, I can understand, and then you lie about it for 20 years, I can understand why they're blackballing them.
I got to ask you one question, and then I want to move on to my last topic.
I love moving on.
But
I'll ask you, what? No, I love answering questions and then moving on.
Right? Barry Bonds gets elected to the Hall of Fame. Let's say he gets elected. Does the Hall of Fame bust have the pre-steroids Bobby Bonds head or the steroids Bobby Bonds head? Because if it's
Barry, it has. Look, his hat didn't even fit him.
I know. That must
Look, the
have
guy
been...
is a bona fide serial cheater. But here's what makes me ill. A-Rod being on national TV. This is just exactly what I'm talking about with other things. I'm not taking one thing lightly over the other. I'm just saying, that's your poster child for Major League Baseball? The biggest serial cheater who ever played the game of baseball? Give me a break. And that's they're going to end up getting him in because he's making the rounds, he's becoming friends with the media members, and all this crap. But there's no doubt in my mind, out of all of them, here's a guy that tried to take the game down, got involved with drug dealers and everything else. He's bad news, and I don't like the guy, period. But, you know, that's their decision. I don't watch a whole lot of that show, but they seem to be set on that right now. But how can that guy be your number one guy?
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. All right, now, got to talk about the Chicago Bulls.
But then they put Pete Rose on Fox. That was the same thing.
Yeah.
But he didn't last too long.
No, he didn't.
No.
Let's move on. Because we could talk for 14 hours on Pete Rose. I mean, he's such a fascinating guy. But I got
he is, and he's a fascinating guy who made mistakes a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a mistake that baseball holds sacred. But they better hold the steroid thing sacred because that's cheating too. And that costs a lot of people money. I mean, Frank Thomas has never been attached with steroids.
Right.
Although I find it comical that he's pushing over-the-counter steroids over on TV. Yet he doesn't want to have anything to do with the other stuff. That being said, he lost an MVP to Jason Giambi.
Yes.
Who would sweat during 30-degree weather. That was a steroid user.
Yes.
And that cost Frank Thomas a lot.
Yes, so true. And that is, and I didn't think of it. The irony of Frank Thomas selling this steroid drug, and he never.
I never did steroids. Hi, I'm Frank Thomas for over the counter steroids.
Okay. That is hilarious. I never thought about that.
All right. I mean, my God, and A-Rod's the guy doing the baseball.
Yes.
Some people, and Frank works for Fox.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that everybody's going to. It's over the counter, Mike. He did it legally because it's over the counter. Okay. So he tried every trick he can over the counter, I guess. But, you know what, I find it hard to believe until you see that Jason Giambi wasn't worth a crap once he got off him. You know what else? Ryan Braun. Ryan Braun had this big, big year where he hit like 50 home runs. Brady Anderson. These guys cheated, period.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, but they're cheered for today when they come up to the plate.
Yep. I remember getting into arguments with Milwaukee Brewers fans. I'm telling them, this guy is a liar. He's lying to you guys. He's not lying. And then when he admitted he was lying, he was like, I'll never forgive him. And then the season later, they're rooting Brian Braun out again. It's like,
and Aaron Rodgers was partners with him in a restaurant, and Aaron Rodgers broke ties with the guy.
Yeah.
Because he lied to him.
Yeah, how about that? That is so true. I forgot about that Aaron Rodgers partnership. All right, we got to talk about these Chicago Bulls because their losing streak here, what is it now? 9 games. And then the game they lost against the Nuggets was by 30 points. A few nights ago against the Warriors, they lost by almost 40 points. I mean, they've had some horrendous losses this year. Right now, I think they have the second worst record in the NBA. The Cleveland Cavaliers have won 9 games. The Bulls have won only 10. Milwaukee in the Central has won 32 games. That's an idea of how bad they are. I've got to ask you, do you think at this point just pull the plug and just send out the worst players out there so you can get a chance to get the number one draft pick in the draft? Tank?
The tank excuse is hilarious. They are sending out bad players. I mean, they're not trying to lose. I mean, Zach LaVine says we got to get better. Chris Dunn? The other night, Chris Dunn. I hear Joe Cowley from the Sun-Times, I read, or whatever paper he's reading, he says, Dunn stepping up and saying some of this is his fault. Yeah, you played 30 minutes the other night, you had 3 assists. You're a point guard.
Yeah.
And then they hire Hank Kingsley from the Larry Sanders Show to be their coach. If you know who Jeffrey Campbell is, that's who this guy is. Hey now. You know, he's on the sidelines. He really has no idea. He's got off on the wrong foot with these players. I don't think they give 100%. I saw him jogging back last night. Jogging back. The effort isn't there. It's a broken culture. Even Will Perdue said yesterday, which means he'll probably be called in because he said it on the Reinsdorf TV network, NBC Chicago, that, you know, this culture's got to change. Well, look at who you got running your club. You got Paxson, Foreman, Reinsdorf, and Hank Kingsley. Are you kidding me?
Hank Kingsley, I love
My God, it's a mess. Nobody cares. And I tried to warn Bulls fans. One guy said this year, a big Bulls fan, they got a Bulls site, hey, pretty soon the Bulls start. I said, I can wait. And he took offense to it. Oh, well, sorry, we'll promote it some other time. As long, you know, didn't mean to get you mad. I was right. I was right. And it's a despicable organization right now, run rudderless by Michael Reinsdorf, Jerry Reinsdorf, and that hapless crew over there.
Very, very true. Now, everybody is saying that the top player coming, not everybody, but a lot of people are saying that the top player coming out in the draft is a kid by the name of Zion Williams.
Zion,
thank you. Where am I getting Zion from?
Zion. What happens if they don't get him?
Yeah, but here's the question. This is what Scottie Pippen on the ESPN show called The Jump said about Zion and what Zion should do. Hold on.
Going to be the number one pick. I mean, I think he's done enough for basketball, college basketball, that it's more about him personally now. And I think for him as a young player that I would shut it down. I would stop playing because I feel that he could risk a major injury that could really hurt his career.
So what do you think about what Scott is saying? Do you think that Zion Williams...
Well, he would know about sitting. He did it 1.8 seconds. He did it when he had a headache during a playoff game. Couldn't play anymore. I mean, if anybody knows about sitting, especially during crucial times, it's that guy. I think it's stupid. I mean, freshmen weren't even allowed to play basketball back in the day. Yeah. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played his sophomore year. They had to play on a soft team their freshman year. And he made it through. Will Chamberlain made it through. Michael Jordan made it through. Here's what I would say. Michael Jordan would never tell Zion to sit, Williams to sit. Would never tell him that. That's the difference between the two men, period.
Yeah.
One guy's a ruthless killer who will take on anybody, and the other guy, if he's intimidated, will sit during a championship game because his number isn't called or something like that because he's so insecure. And now he wants this kid to sit. He doesn't have to sit, first of all. And you know what? These people that say, it's a shame you have to go to college. He doesn't have to go to college. He can go play in China. You know, playing for Duke makes you millions if you're good. If this kid played in China, nobody would see him. Or in the Philippines. Or in Europe. Playing for Duke and being on TV all the time has given people a good look at this kid. He's going to be fantastic. But if he stops playing, I'm telling you, if you don't play in the NCAAs, you're out of your mind. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And if you get hurt, I'm sick of hearing about Sam Bowie or Brandon Roy. How many guys have really gotten hurt in college basketball that were top flight? They all seem to make it through. You know what I mean?
It seems like except most of them. There have been, a couple. But for the most part, 99% of them make it through. But there have been some players who have been drafted. I think number one wasn't the center that the Bulls drafted. They drafted Tyson Chandler. What was the name of the other guy from Chicago?
Eddie Curry.
He didn't play a single second of college basketball.
Eddie Curry, and that was a dumb pickup. Eddie Curry should have gone to DePaul. Should have played a couple of years. Eddie Curry was dumb as a box of rocks, and here's another thing. He was. There was a game he played in high school where he had no points. But that didn't stop the Bulls from taking him.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. And you know, as we found out, he didn't care about conditioning, wasn't married to his craft. He was immature. And they gave him nothing but dough. And you know what? That was the end of Krause. That was the end of Krause. Because he was the guy that said organizations win championships. And you know what? That was the worst thing he could have said. You know who won championships? One guy, Michael Jordan.
Yep. You make a good point about playing for Duke and Duke making you millions of dollars. So do you think do you think this kid should continue to play the rest of the season, even though he's not getting paid for playing college basketball, but the return is that he's going to make more money when he becomes an NBA player because he played at Duke?
First of all, I don't go with he's not getting paid, because I looked up how much these colleges are to attend. He's getting paid because the parents don't have to dish out money out of their pockets to send these kids to school. They're getting paid. Now, they may not get a salary. They don't deserve to. Because what are you going to do? Pay Zion Williamson $150 a game? That means he's going to have his pockets lined. And then is he going to get the same amount of money as the 12th man? It will never happen. The people that argue for it have no idea how destructive and fraudulent that would become. Because once a kid's got money in his pocket, he could have $10,000 in his pocket given to him by an agent and say, well, I just saved it the last 2 years, and my parents gave me some. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's not going to be the case. There's guys getting paid now by street agents. So that would be just a gigantic mess. He's got to keep playing. If he sits, he'll still get drafted. But you know what? Even Christian McCaffrey sat against Stanford, and I didn't like that. When he played for Stanford, I thought he should have won the Heisman Trophy over at least 1 year, but he sat because he was afraid he was going to get hurt. Now he's playing great, but you know what? How many big-time stars in football got hurt this year in the bowl games? It just is something that I understand it's the future, but man, if you're afraid to compete because you're afraid of injury, that's tough. You gotta make your name out there. And can you imagine if Jabbar would have sat out the second year at UCLA? When they had won like 3-4 in a row, I'm not going to play, Coach Wooden. I'm going to sit out so we can lose.
Yeah.
What kind of crap is that?
Yeah.
What kind of teammate is that?
Yeah. It is sad that, you know, you got a guy like Scottie Pippen telling a collegiate player to not play for your teammates, just wrap it up, think about yourself and the money, because you don't want to risk getting an injury. I understand the business part of it, but what's happened to just the desire to win and play with a competitive team and win for your pride's sake, you know? It's really
sad. He went to Central Arkansas. He didn't know what the big time was. I don't even know if he knew what indoor plumbing was until he played for the Bulls.
Well, it's very true that he grew up in a very, very poor environment.
Very poor.
Yeah.
Very poor. Look, I'm not making a crack at the guy. He came from a different environment. But this is big-time basketball. You don't sit on Coach K. You don't sit on Coach K. That's not good. Now, you can leave at the end of the year, but you're expected to fulfill your obligation to your team. And it's not hard for me to believe that a guy who abandoned ship a couple times... I mean, he's like that guy remember that boat that tipped over in Italy? He's the first one off the ship. Remember that guy?
Yes, yes.
Scatino?
Yes.
That's Scottie Pippen.
That's a good way to end the show.
Yes, baby.
Mike, we went 23 minutes over, and every minute was worth it. I had a blast. I hope you had a blast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, buddy. I love it. And you know what? Whether you agree or disagree, at least there's some good concourse. Appreciate everybody on the bar room.
All right, and we've got some special announcements next week. So follow us at Bears Barroom and the Mike North Advantage. We'll be back on Monday. We love you. Say goodbye to your fans, Mike.
So long, everybody.